This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's really good to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 8. Last week we stopped at verse 13 and we'll continue from there this week. Last week we read about the centurion servant who was healed by Jesus, and the centurion showed so much faith in Jesus Christ that Jesus said to the centurion in verse 13, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. And it is showing people of God, the same thing will be done for us according to our faith. So let us continue to put our faith in Jesus Christ. So we are going to go on to verse 14 of Matthew 8. But let us pray before we begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you again for this privilege to bring forth your good news, your word to your people. We thank you for your people who take the time out to listen, oh God, to these words that are coming from the gospel writings of Matthew. And we pray this evening in the name of Jesus that those who hear, oh God, will purpose in their hearts to obey your word. So we pray, oh God, almighty Lord, for mighty change to come to the hearts of your people. Those that are not yet saved, oh God, will put their faith in you, Jesus, and will become, oh God, committed followers of you. Father God, those who are already saved, oh God, will be transformed by the renewing of their minds, that they will walk in your perfect will. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in this season. And thank you, oh God, for your word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you that your word prevents us from stumbling on this journey. And because of your word, oh God, we will continue to go forth and be the ambassadors that you have called us to be. Lord, we bless you, we honor and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. So we'll go on to Matthew 8, 14. And we're going to look at Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. So verse 14 said, "Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with fever." So we know that Peter was one of Jesus' disciples. But when he came into Peter's mother-in-law's house, there she was lying sick with fever. So Peter's mother-in-law was in his house lying sick with fever. Look at verse 15. "So he touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served." Look at the people of God. Jesus touched her hand and the fever left her, and she arose and served. There's nothing said here that anyone asked Jesus to touch her. It's not written here. But the word said, "So he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served." So we see Jesus is always moved with compassion, people of God. Jesus is always moved with compassion towards his people. Just one touch from him makes the difference. Just one touch from Jesus. And people of God, we see here, this was one of his disciples, mother-in-law, lying sick with fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served. Just one touch from Jesus, people of God, makes the difference. Peter and mother-in-law got just one touch. Jesus just touched her hand, and she was healed and went and served. She was healed so she could go and serve. So she was healed. She didn't stay in that position. She got up and she went and served. She arose and served. People of God, many of God's people need healing so that they can be of service in the kingdom. Whatever the situation is in your life this evening, Jesus Christ can heal you. Just one touch. Jesus gave just one touch. He touched just her hand, and the fever left her. The great physician, the sympathizing Jesus, our great high priest, the God-man, the perfect God-man, walked in such authority, walked in such power, walked with such anointing, people of God. Just one touch from him was able to heal Peter's mother-in-law. The word said, and she arose and served. Many of God's people need that healing touch. But we have to go to him. Go to him, people of God. Cry out to him. Many of us might be in situations for years and we even stop thinking about it. Maybe we think this is the norm. It's not the norm. Jesus wants us to be made whole. He came that we might be made whole, people of God. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, socially. He wants us to be made whole. So many of us need healing in certain areas of our lives so that we can be of service in the kingdom. If we are not made whole, children of God, we cannot be of any service in the kingdom of God. So we see after Peter's mother-in-law was healed, she got up, she arose and served. In her sick state, she could not serve, children of God. But when she received her healing, she got up and served. And so, people of God, the Lord is calling us to come to him for our healing. He is our healer. He's able to make us whole so that we can be of service in the kingdom. We don't want to be just saying that we are a part of God's body and yet not serving. We are called to serve. We are called, people of God. We all are gifted in certain areas. But if we are sick, we will not serve. So we want to serve, people of God, with fervency in our spirit because we have been made whole. And Jesus is calling us, people of God, to be made whole. He wants us to walk in wholeness so that we can be of service in the kingdom. He wants us to represent him well. He is wholeness. So he wants his people to be made whole. So people of God, he's calling us to that place of walking in wholeness, coming to him for our healing, for he is mighty to heal. He is mighty to save, mighty to deliver. He is our great I am. Look at verse 16 of Matthew 8. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Look at the people of God. When evening had come, they brought to him many. They heard about Jesus, all the great and mighty works that he was doing. He went about doing good, healing the sick, and delivering those who were demon-possessed. And the Bible tells us he healed. He cast out the spirit with a word. So his word is able to cast out any evil spirit, people of God. He cast out the spirit with a word and healed all who were sick. So all that came to him, people of God, got their healing and deliverance. So Jesus is calling us to that place, people of God, where we will walk in our healing, walk in our deliverance, because the strong deliverer is here to heal us and to take care of his children. But we must go to him. The word said, when evening come, they brought to him. They brought to him. So we can't stay in our comfort zone and stay with our sickness, whatever the sickness is, and don't come to Jesus. Come to him, and he's able to heal us. He's able to deliver us from whatever demonic spirits that are in our lives. So the people, the word of God said the people brought some who were demon possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. So Jesus went about ministering to all the people who were brought to him. Some were demon possessors, as was read before, and he cast those demons out. The word of God can bring deliverance to anyone who put their trust in him. He can bring healing to any situation. Are we willing and ready to go to the healer? Are we willing and ready to go to the strong deliverer and say, Lord, heal me. Lord, help me. Lord, touch me and make me whole. Jesus wants his people to be made whole because he died on that cross for us. And he took all our sicknesses, our infirmities, our sin, everything that was against us, our sorrows, our grief, our inadequacies, our weaknesses. He took them all to the cross. And he nailed them to the cross, people of God, and he buried them. So he wants his people to walk in wholeness. And those who recognized who was in the house, they brought in those that were sick and demon-possessed, and they received their healing. So now God is calling us to come to him and to receive our healing so that his people can walk in wholeness and represent him well. Look at verse 17 of Matthew 8. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So Matthew here was referring to Isaiah 53:4. The word said, surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So we see where he bore all our infirmities on the cross. He bore all our sicknesses, people of God. Everything that was against humanity, he bore it on the cross for us. And we today can have wholeness, can have that shalom, that wholeness, that state of well-being when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. So we have to understand, people of God, that Jesus is willing and able to heal his people. But we must come to him. And we see all those that were brought to him were healed of their infirmities. So we too, God's people, who are going forth and not completely healed, God is calling us to complete healing so that we can be whole and we can be of service in the kingdom. So we want to be people of God who walk in wholeness, for Christ died that we might be made whole. So we're going to continue on to verse 18 of Matthew 8. Verse 18 of Matthew 8. The word of God says, and when Jesus saw great multitude about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. So Jesus saw that great crowd coming upon him. He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Look at verse 20, people of God, of Matthew 8. Look at Jesus' response. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. People of God, what was Jesus saying here? Following Jesus, people of God, is a life of self-denial. Jesus was making it clear that he has no earthly place for himself to accommodate him. So many times we want to follow Jesus having the wrong motive. But Jesus knows the hearts, people of God. Jesus knows everything about us. Jesus knows the intent of our hearts. So Jesus responded in this way, that I don't have no earthly place for myself to accommodate anyone. So he tell them, the birds have nest, the fox have holes, but I, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay my head. So Jesus was saying, I have no earthly place for myself. I don't own any earthly place here. As the God-man walking here on earth, he was in the flesh. But he said, I don't have a piece of real estate that I'm going to call my own. This is my own home. I don't have that. So Jesus knew the motive of this scribe. He knew the motive. So he was making it clear that this life following me is a life of self-denial. So we have to come to understand, people of God, that following Jesus is a life of self-denial. So it's not what is in it for us. But we have to come, take up our cross daily, deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus. So we have to come to understand, people of God, it's not about all the wealth and the riches and all these things that we're going to get by following Jesus. But we have to come to understand that the life of following Jesus is a life of self-denial. So we have to make up our minds. We have to count the cost before we come to say that we are committed to Jesus. For many start on the journey but cannot continue because they did not count the cost. So Jesus was making it clear here to the scribe that, listen, I don't even have a place of myself for myself to accommodate you. And look at verse 21. The word tells us. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Look at it. So many wanted to follow him now. They saw all the signs and wonders and great and mighty works Jesus was doing. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to make sure my name is called with him. Because this great rabbi is doing all of these great works. But Jesus was showing them up that their motives was not right. Then Jesus said to him in verse 22 of Matthew 8, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. What was Jesus saying here? Jesus was saying that we should not neglect following him because we have to take care of family issues. That was what Jesus was saying. We should not neglect following him because of the family issues that we have to take care of. Jesus was not saying that we should neglect family or the other duties that we have, people of God. But it should be in the forefront of our minds that following Jesus is priority. It should be in the forefront of our minds that following Jesus is priority. So Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Those that are still dead in their sins and trespasses, those that have not been regenerated, let them go take care of those things. But you continue to follow me. So what Jesus is saying, following him is priority. That does not mean, as I said before, that we are going to neglect family or other duties that we should do here on earth. But we must know, it must be in the forefront of our minds, that following Jesus is priority. Look at verse 23 of Matthew 8. Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And verse 24 said, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. People of God, in this boat, they were on this boat sailing across the sea, and a great tempest, a great storm arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with water, with the waves. But Jesus was asleep. Look at what happened in verse 25 of Matthew 8. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are perishing. The disciples came to Jesus and awoke him. Jesus was sleeping in the midst of the storm, people of God. The storm was raging, but Jesus was sleeping peacefully. What is that saying to us, people of God? When we are in a right relationship with Jesus, when we are abiding in him, and when we have his peace in our hearts, it doesn't matter what storms are raging in our lives. It doesn't matter what trials, what testing, what suffering, what tribulation has come upon us, people of God. We still have that peace and that sweet rest in Christ Jesus. So we see Jesus here sleeping even in the midst of this great storm. And verse 25 tells us the disciples now came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, we are perishing. Lord, we are perishing. They're crying out to Jesus. And people of God, Jesus wants us to cry out to him. Jesus wants us to call out to him. Sometimes we are going through situations and we have our mouth closed. But Jesus wants us to cry to him. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. So the disciples came to him crying out. They awoke him and saying, Lord, Master, save us. We are perishing. But look at what Jesus said in verse 26. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. People of God, the word tells us, Jesus said to them, why are you fearful? People of God, what is this saying to us? When Jesus is truly, Lord of our lives, when we are in an intimate relationship with him, when we are communing with him day and night, no matter what storms are raging, fear will not overtake us. For he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. People of God. So Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Why are you fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Remember earlier on in this chapter, Jesus commended the faith of the centurion. He said, I've never seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. But now his own personal followers, he was rebuking them. Oh, you of little faith. Even after they saw all those great miracles and those things, they were still fearful, people of God. And it is showing us, people of God, that the emotion of fear will sometimes want to take us over. But let us remember the words of Jesus. And let us continue to put our faith in him, trust him to come through for us. Look at what Jesus did. The word said, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. He arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. So he did not only rebuke the winds, he rebuked the sea also. So he rebuked the winds because the winds were coming that was causing the sea to be in an uproar. So he rebuked the winds and he rebuked the sea, and there was a great calm. And there was a great calm. People of God, the word tells us, the psalmist himself wrote so many thousand years before Christ came. In Psalm 107:29, he said, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. Psalm 107:29 said, he calms the storm. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he calms the storm so that its waves are still. He calms the storm, people of God. And whatever storms we have in our lives, he is able to calm them. He said, be of good courage. Be of good courage, children of God. I have overcome the world. In me you will have peace. In this world you are going to have tribulation, according to John 16:33. But in me you will have peace. We want to be in Christ Jesus. So we will have his peace even in the midst of the storms. And we know that he is able to calm any storm to make the waves thereof still. So we look here in verse 27, people of God. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Who can this be that is able to calm the storms, and the waves are still. Who can this be? So the disciples at that time, people of God, they marveled. They were surprised. Even though they were followers of Christ, they were astonished at his power and authority. They asked the question, who is this that the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this? Who is this man? This man is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. People of God, we have to come to understand who Jesus is. Even his very close followers marveled at his power, marveled at his authority, that even the wind and the waves obey him. The psalmist got that revelation so many years before Christ came to earth, knowing that he is able to calm the storms. He is able to calm any storms in our lives, people of God. He is able to make the waves thereof still. He is able to speak to any wind in our lives. No matter what winds are blowing, he's able to speak to them and cause them to be calm in our lives. He's able to give us that sweet peace that only he alone can bring. So we have to run to him, cry to him, like the disciples of old. They called out to him, Lord, we are perishing. So we want to call out to him and say, Lord, I'm going through this situation. Please help me. Help, Lord. Sometimes we can only say, help, Lord. And he knows the situation and he's able to help us. For he's able to calm the storms of life so that its waves are still. Peace be still. He's able to speak peace in our lives. Peace be still. Whatever the situation that we are going through, Jesus' word can bring that sweet peace, that tranquility, that rest for our souls. Only he can do that, people of God. But we must call out to him. We must cry out to him. And we must remain in that intimate relationship with him. So that when we cry out to him, people of God, he will know that we are his people. He will know that we are in that deep relationship with him. He knows our voices. He knows those that are his. He knows those that are walking in the right relationship with him. So we don't want to just say, Lord, Lord, but we want to truly be in a relationship with Jesus. As we cry out to him, people of God, he hears us and he answers us because we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We want to be, people of God, followers of Jesus Christ who walk in his authority, who walk knowing who we serve, knowing Jesus. The disciples cry out, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? So we have to know who our God is. We have to know who he is and walk in that truth and walk in love as he has called us to. So God bless you here. We are going to stop here this evening and let us pray and end. Father, we thank you again for your word to your people, and may we continue to apply your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Blessings. In the Lord is
love. Reproofs of instruction. Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time.